Today's lesson is actually got to do with Clues for Kids, the final lesson in the series we've been doing on family. So, kids, we want you to pay attention, and we're going to do what we can to help you to do that. Parents and grandparents who you're sitting next to are really going to help you do that, too. And we're just going to see what we can gain from this. Now, when we're talking about clues, kids, older kids at least, you got to understand it's not Blue's Clues. Now, I know I'm dating myself once again, and who else would? You know, but I guess about 5 years ago, that actually went off the air. So you have to go on, you know, syndicated things, whatever, to get Blue's Clues. But those older kids, my grandkids even, they'll remember this idea of the Blue's Clues. But it's not something you have to start singing the blues about. I'm going to have you looking for Paul Prince, actually, through the service. So that will help you to kind of maybe keep attention. But you might think about it, some of you more like Jake and the Pirates, okay, and you're searching for that X that marks the spot. But either way, we're going to use this paw print idea throughout the PowerPoint display to kind of help you keep focused. We're going to be looking for some treasure, okay, some things that are worthwhile, some things that will benefit you. Think of it like playing a new game, kids, today, okay, looking for the paw print, okay, looking for the paw print. You're going to see that throughout the lesson. And here's the challenge for you kids, okay? Now, you want to use a bullet and get a pencil, and I want you to put a little mark every time you see a paw print. That's all you got to do, okay? And guess what? There's a big reward, a big prize at the end of it if you get all of them, all right? Okay? And I'll tell you what that is later. So keep track. Now, parents, you can even help them if you want, just to help them keep focused, okay, because there's paw prints. Now we're going to call this number one, so we'll help you out. There's number one. You see one, so you can make one little mark, okay? But there'll be some others as we kind of look through this together. What we're actually going to be doing is we're going to be looking at some wisdom from the Proverbs. Oh, okay, two, right? See, I'm helping you out. See, two. There's the second one, right? That's the second paw print. Okay, but we're going to be looking at some wisdom from Proverbs. God's word in all of the scripture is valuable, it's worthwhile to consider, to look at. But God's word in this book of Proverbs, it's about good and positive behavior for people of all ages, and some real gems especially that would benefit kids. Now, can we agree, though, that we are, in God's church, we're all children of God, so this is going to benefit us no matter what our age. But these are some things that if we could get them impressed upon, get kids to focus on early on, it would be a real blessing for them. I want you to think of it like this, too. The book of Proverbs, this is something that occurred to me years ago. Does anybody tell me what kind of a word a verb is? What do we call those? Action words, right? The verbs and action words. So pro, does anybody know what that prefix means? Is positive or move towards that, right? So Proverbs is full of this proactive kind of lifestyle that we're to be living. It's full of these positive reinforcements about ways we're supposed to behave, things we're supposed to do, ways that we are supposed to carry on in our life. And it would do good for all of us to pay attention to them. Now this picture represents the idea of those who see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. You know, maybe some of us older ones at least can remember hearing that, you know, and sometimes it's represented by monkeys. And not that kids ever behave like monkeys, right? Never that they do. But again, sometimes it's represented that way. But this idea, again, of see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Well, we're going to be thinking about those precepts actually in Proverbs. Some of you might remember a Sunday school song, and I don't know if they teach this to Sunday school kids anymore, but it was, you know, this idea, be careful little eyes what you see, be careful little eyes what you see, for there's a Father up above looking down in tender love, careful little eyes what you see, and then it's ears, right, and then it's mouth, and then it's hands. So we're going to be considering that, okay, kids? You ready? And you adult kids too, right? So we'll be considering this idea. Proverbs chapter 4, 26 and 27. It says, keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step. I have these words highlighted because they have to do with eyes, don't they? And the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left, and leave evil in the dust. The idea, again, of keeping our focus, being careful about where our eyes are set, the idea here about again, being mindful and watchful of all things. Now, there have been always distractions in life. There have always been distractions in life. But kids today, you kids today, you're faced with so many distractions. So many more, I believe, than my generation was, or the generation before. It just seems like there's all this stuff, again, grabbing for your attention. Would you agree that that's happening? Now, parents, I'll just share this with you. I think we have contributed to that. I think we have invested some things into our kids that have maybe made that even more difficult for them. Because from the very get-go, from the very beginning, I mean, think about it. Now, you parents and grandparents, you're not going to remember when you were in the cradle. But try to think about what it was like when you were in the cradle. You may have had the very most, maybe a mobile hanging that the wind would blow, right? Maybe, right? You know, and then how did that go? You know, by the time, you know, my kids were in the cradle, they were in the crib, we had one you wind up, you know, it'd play music and sparkle and go around, you know, you wouldn't wait for the wind. So right away, see, they're, oh, okay. Now, you know, now they got them that are automated, they're running on solar power, you know, whatever, you know, but right away, see, from the get-go, it's like we're stimulating, you know, stimulating and getting the kids to look. And so distractions are there. And I think, like I say, we have maybe made it even harder for kids today to keep focused sometimes. I really do. And I think some of the, don't misunderstand me here, but I think some of the ADD that we even see, we it's not just inherited. I think some of it we're causing in our culture. I think some of it we have done that. Now, some of it is hereditary. Some of it is due to some physiological things. But I think a lot of what's going on with kids today is they can't keep focused because we have taught them not to focus. You know, everything's changing all the time. And you got to keep them entertained. You got to keep them occupied. Right? So I mean, it's happening. But there are so many distractions for you kids. One of the things I want to talk about is the stuff on TV. Right? Stuff on TV. Much of the stuff on TV is not good for you. It's not. Now, how many parents, grandparents, would amen that a lot of the stuff on the TV isn't good for kids? Now, a lot of stuff isn't good for adults, all right? But it's not good for kids, particularly. It isn't good for you to see even for a second, let alone for you to pause and linger and look at and watch and stare and, right? There's a lot of stuff that's not good there. And parents, certainly with all the abilities we have now to put filters and parental passwords on things that are unwholesome, we ought to exercise that. We ought to really do that to try to protect our kids from seeing things that they shouldn't be seeing, that aren't good for them to see. You older kids, and you know, it has to be very old these days for this to be the case, who have access to TV, maybe even with cable and internet in your bedroom alone. You know, mom and dad are always watching over you and saying, you can't watch that, you shouldn't watch that. You're going to need some discretion yourself, aren't you? Be thinking about, well, what should I be looking at? Is this something that God would want me to watch? Is this something that God would want me to focus on? Be careful, little eyes. Jesus' words in Matthew 6, verse 22, are that the eyes are the lamp of the body. And that's often interpreted by scholars to mean that what we look at can affect and influence who we are, who we become. And I believe that is true. I believe that is the truth. But so often, again, what we fix it on, what we look at, it's a window to the soul. See, it's something, again, that might open up and actually can pollute us, can actually pollute our hearts and corrupt in our thoughts and have adverse effects. So be careful, kids, what you see. Be careful where you look. Next, you know, be careful, little ears, what you hear, right? Well, Proverbs 2, verse 1 and 2 says, take to heart, and that really means listen, pay close attention here to what I'm telling you. Collect my counsel and guard it. Now, notice that. That's interesting. With your life. It's saying that again, God's word, God's counsel is so vitally important to hold on to, you know, to not let loose of, to protect it as if it was something so precious that you would die in order to save it and to keep it. Do you have things, kids, that you believe are precious and important to you? Do you have things that, you know what, you maybe you put away and try to keep safe, and if it's missing, you go get all panicky. Whoa, wait, mom, dad, get funny, get funny. You have anything like that? Hey, I have things like that. It's often my keys or my glasses. So have God's word be like that. That you're guarding it and you're protecting it, you know, and that's valuable. You understand how precious it is. That's the idea. Take it to heart. Listen. Pay attention. Tune your ears to the word of wisdom. Set your heart on a life of understanding. Could you know you can tune your ears? You can tune your ears, you know. But the idea is, once again, be ready to listen to God's word. To hear that. Be careful to make sure you hear that. And you also need to be careful though there's things that you don't listen to. And that takes some tuning again. As I said before, there's so many distractions, and there's a lot of things we could listen to today. So much stuff we could listen to today. Not all of it is good. Again, how many parents, grandparents would agree that a lot of the stuff that's out there to listen to is not good? A lot of stuff, whether it's on the airways or whether it's in the air, right? Not good to listen to. Movies and TV are full of foul and filthy language. So are a lot of songs. Some jokes people tell are crude and nasty. There's also something called hate speech. Maybe some of you kids haven't heard about that, but hate speech. And though I think that there are people, there are particular segments of people who are carrying it way too far, and they're calling things hate speech that really aren't, there is such a thing as speech that's filled with hate. There is the situation where people sometimes say things that are hurtful as well as hateful. And we need to be careful about listening to that stuff. If people are speaking hateful, hurtful things, we shouldn't listen. We should walk away if we can. We should try to plug our ears if we can. Because you know what? That stuff is not good for you to listen to. And once again, just like things going in your eyes can hurt your heart, so can things you hear. If somebody is talking bad about someone else, again, we shouldn't listen. Now, we don't always have a choice. We can't always help what we hear. One of the things that disturbs me greatly, and I know it does my wife as well, is that when we're out maybe at a store or the mall or something, to hear sometimes the way parents talk to their children and around their children. It's appalling. It's horrible. I mean, it's like, you know, you're not supposed to do this, but it's like I'd like to go up and, like, shake that parent. You know, what's the matter with you? What are you doing? But sometimes, you know, kids hear some of the most hateful, hurtful things out of the mouths of their own parents. How sad that is. How very, very sad that is. Not only is it corrupting themselves, it's corrupting perhaps and really hurting and filling a heart with just things that shouldn't ever be filled with. Sometimes we do have a choice, though. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we can choose. Ephesians 6 verse 1 says that the children, okay, you're to obey your parents, okay? You're to obey them. Now, you can't really obey them if you don't listen to them. You don't pay attention to what your parents say. So you know, you need to choose to listen to your parents. Like I say, I pray that you wouldn't hear that horrible stuff coming from your parents ever or your grandparents. But you should listen to their advice. You should listen to their counsel. Listen to the people that they trust. I would encourage you, kids, to listen to your Sunday school teachers. I would encourage you even now to listen to me. Those who are sharing God's word again. Because remember, they were supposed to tune our ears to that and hold on to that. We need to do that. So you have a choice about that. Whether you're going to listen, whether you're going to tune in, where you're going to pick up and pay attention. Listen to wholesome music, too. You know, you have a choice about that, right? Kids, you have a choice about that. So listen to wholesome music. Try to listen to things that are more positive, that are good, that will fill your heart with good things. Again, the idea, most of all, listen again to God's word. And if anything or anyone contradicts it or seems out of sync with it, don't listen to that. Don't listen to them. Listen, of course, to Jesus, right? Listen to him. You can always listen to Jesus. What he says is good. It's amazing. It's full of grace and truth. You want to listen to Jesus, kids, right? And adults want to listen to Jesus. You can't ever go wrong listening to Jesus. Pay attention to what he has to say. Be careful, kids, what you hear. Tune your ears to truth, to God's word, to things that are wholesome and good, and tune out the best you can those things that are not. You have some control over that. And sometimes, you know, it's just really where the best you can do is almost like we saw that picture of the little boy, is try to cover up. Sometimes that's all you can do. I've been, and maybe you've experienced this too, I'd be surprised if you haven't nowadays. We've been in restaurants before with our kids or grandkids, and there's some people sitting in a booth or another table, and what's coming from their mouths is just horrible, absolutely horrible. And there's been a few times, more than a few, I'm afraid, where I have went up to them and asked them to tone it down, please watch your language, there's kids present. I don't even say for my sake, you know, but hey, we understand. Sometimes you know what happens? They say, oh, I'm sorry. Sometimes what happens is they just start venting at me with even more vicious and venomous language. In those cases, you know what we've done? Is we've said, come on, kids, we're leaving. And we've told the manager or whoever else that we're leaving, you know, and we'd appreciate it if you'd try to do something about that in the future. Sometimes you can't help, but sometimes, you know what? The thing you could do is just get up and move. Get up and leave. And sometimes parents, make sure that you do that with your kids. Say, we're leaving. We're not going to do this. You have some control too, right? You can change the channel. You can control sometimes what's being purchased for them to listen to, what DVDs, what movies that they're watching, right? You have help them with that. Help them with that. It also grieved me a lot when the other day when I was talking to Wyatt about a program we were watching. It was PG-13. I thought it would be okay, and that was a word. It was a word. Oh, my goodness, you know. And he didn't seem to be that upset about it, but I apologized to him. Said, you know what? You know, I'm sorry about that. Didn't know that was going to be there. Didn't expect that. But Mandy said to me, you know what? He's probably so desensitized to it because of all the stuff he hears at school all day long. Isn't that a shame? That's a rotten shame, but it's truth. And we can become so desensitized to it, too. We need to be careful about what we're hearing, you know, because our hearts can be affected, and we become callous to it. We need to be careful. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 15, verse 18. He said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So he's saying, you see, what you're hearing, what fills the heart, can come back out. How many of you know that kids might repeat what they hear? How many of you know that? You know, even if you don't want them to, they might repeat what you say. You know, they might do that. And you know what? We can be that way too. A long time ago, I heard it put this way, garbage in, garbage out. So we want to be filtering out, right, the garbage as much as we possibly can. And this brings me to the next point. Be careful, little mouths, what you say. Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19, it says, here are six things God hates, and one more he despises. With a passion, eyes filled with conceit, lying tongues, and hands that hurt and kill innocent people, a heart that makes evil plans, feet that hurry to bad things, and a mouth that lies and swears to it, and a troublemaker in the family. How many know that God is love? And how many have heard, you know, God loves you? For God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know some songs, other songs, right? Yes, Jesus loves me, right? Jesus loves the little children. Jesus, God is love. 1 John 4:8 says that. But guess what? God also hates some stuff. He hates some stuff. And in context here, first of all, I want to focus on those things that he hates that people say. He hates it when we lie. So should we lie, kids? If God hates it? Adults? Parents? If God hates lying, a lying tongue, should we lie? Of course not. He especially hates it when we stir up trouble in the family. And that's in our physical families, that's in God's family. Sometimes that's done with gossip. Sometimes that's done with just people telling tales. Sometimes that's done with people just complaining and arguing and fussing. All God hates it when we do that. God hates it, kids, when you do that. Hates it. So we need to watch our mouths. Don't you think? You need to watch your mouths. God says in Ephesians 4:25 that we should never lie, but should always speak the truth. And in verse 29, he says we should never let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths. Now, that word unwholesome, I've often asked people, what do you think he means there? Well, they think, well, don't cuss. Well, I'd say that's a good rule, okay? Don't cuss, don't curse, don't use gutter language. I'd say, yeah, all that stuff's unwholesome. The idea of wholesome is healthy. And the context will tell us that you don't speak anything unwholesome, but you speak that only which will build somebody up, encourage them, help them again. That'll benefit those who listen is what he says. So the real idea is it doesn't just have to be cussing or cursing. He can be criticizing, cutting somebody down, making fun of them, tearing them down. Don't let that stuff come out of your mouth. So kids, should you ever say anything bad about a friend at school or even somebody who's not your friend? Should you ever talk behind their back and say mean and hurtful things? Should you? Should you ever call people by horrible names? Should you ever make fun of them with, what do you think? Well, adults do it. Yeah, they do. And they shouldn't. Because guess what? God hates it when we do that. And know what it says? He hates it when we do that. We're only supposed to do that and speak that which will encourage people. Only that. Now, my mom always said it this way. If you can't say anything nice, you can probably finish it. Don't say anything at all, right? If you can't say anything nice, if you can't say anything that'll benefit somebody, build somebody up, then she would say, best keep your mouth shut. Ephesians 5, verse 4 also warns against all obscenity, foolish talk, and coarse joking. Now, that's a pretty broad statement, wouldn't you say? All obscenity, all foolish talk, all coarse joking. Now, what I want is I want a list. Somebody give me a list of all the words I can't say. All right? Sometimes we're like that, right? So what? Help me out. What is that? All obscenity, all foolish talk, all coarse joking. Can somebody help me out here. Give me a list. You know, can you give me the phrases? Can somebody write that all out? There's actually a comedian on YouTube right now, Tim Hawkins, and he talks about the 100 curse words or cuss words that Christians are allowed to say. Now, I've listened to them, and I'm not sure that we should be saying any of them, to be honest with you. But, you know, words we just say, sometimes euphemisms, things that people say that they think are okay. I'm not going to give you a list. But here, kids, listen to your parents again. Listen to your grandparents. Listen to those who are trusted. And if you say something and they say, you know what, that's not appropriate. If they say, you know what, that doesn't sound nice. If they say, you know what, I don't like hearing that. Listen to them. Well, you're small, guess what? Those authority figures, those people, they are standing in the place of God for you to help you to understand his wisdom. And if they say, don't say that, don't say that. You know, you don't have to say, well, why? It's not appropriate. Please don't say that. And we may never get a whole laundry list, but it's something to pray about, right? And ask God for help with. Pretty broad. Doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room for our tongues to wag, though, does it? When you think about all these things. Jesus said in Matthew 12:36, that we'll be judged by every idle word that comes out of our mouths. Every idle word. What does that mean? Words that aren't necessary. Words that have no benefit to them. Words, again, that are just blah, 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 blah. And I know that would probably, some of you kids at least, think, man, if you weren't doing blah, 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 you wouldn't be preaching much. But I'm hopefully these aren't idle words. But the idea is to make sure words have some value, their importance. Choose them carefully. That's the idea. And I believe that you know, when God looks, and that's all we're doing is blah, 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 that he may see us as just a big mouth wagging a tongue. And really of no benefit to anybody. According to Proverbs 6, that's especially true again if we're stirring up division or dissension among family and friends. This means that though we may be free to say whatever we feel, we shouldn't. And we definitely shouldn't spew out whatever crosses our minds or repeat everything we hear. Right? Shouldn't do that. We definitely shouldn't do what I hear so many people say. Well, I'm justified, they think. That means I feel like I'm right because I'm just speaking my mind. Anybody ever hear that? I'm just speaking my mind. I'm just saying what I feel. It's how I feel. It's what I'm thinking. I might as well say it. Is that true? No. You may be thinking it. You may be feeling it. That doesn't mean you need to say it. Doesn't mean you need to say it. There'd be a whole lot of things that we maybe think and feel that we'd be better not even thinking or feeling, let alone expressing. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, take captive every thought and surrender to Christ. Now just think about that phrase a minute. What's it saying? Just say what's ever on your mind? Just spew out whatever you're feeling? No. Give that thought to Christ first. Ask Jesus, should I say this? Is this something, again, that glorifies you? Is this something that benefit people who listen? Is this something? Give thought, right? And you know, some of us are going around in like that birdcage around the brain. It's like our mouths is what the gate is, and it's wide open, and whatever's there just spills out. Shouldn't be. It just shouldn't be. So kids, just because you hear it, just because you feel it, doesn't mean you got to say it. Think about it, you know, and adults. Would it be good for us to learn this lesson? Amen, it would, right? We're going to set the example for our kids. Be careful what you say. Now, be careful, little hands, what you do. Once more, I'm going to look at the same passage, Proverbs 6, highlighting some different things in it this time. Of the things that God hates and despises, one of them is hands that hurt and kill, and another is feet that hurry to do bad things. And I'm going to include that troublemaker idea again, too, because not every thing we do to stir up trouble is because of what we say. Sometimes it's because, any kids ever do this? You ever just pick on somebody? You just ever just push or pick or do what you can to annoy them, to get a reaction on them? Any kids ever do that? Parents never do that. Adults never do that. You know, it's not just what you say. We can stir up trouble, you know, by what we do, too, with what we're doing with our hands. We can do that. I don't know how many little episodes we've had in the back seat of the car when we were traveling, when my kids were younger especially, because not what they were saying, because of the poking, you know, and the putting their foot over there. He's crossing the line. He's on my side. She's on my side. That kind of thing. And you know what? Maybe that's being too sensitive and being too silly. But you know what? When you know that's annoying them and you just keep right on doing it, stop it. Right? What's the parent say? We usually say, I don't care who started it. Just stop it. And stop it now. Do I have to pull over? we don't want to do that either, okay? Again, God is love. But get from this, he hates it when we mistreat our brothers and sisters. And he's talking about physically here a lot, too. When we're physically hurting brothers and sisters, he hates it. I want to be careful here, but kids, unless you are being attacked, you fear for your life, or someone is you're hurting you, if somebody's trying to kidnap you, and unless that's happening, don't fight, don't kick, don't bite, don't scratch, don't don't pinch, don't. Now the reason I'm saying that, and you parents and grandparents, I'm sure can appreciate this. If one of your children, if somebody grabbed them, was trying to take them away, what would you want them to do? Kick, pinch, bite, whatever, right? To get free. Scream your head off. You would want them to do that. But you know what? We're talking in the normal day-to-day. Don't. That's a no-no. Don't do those things. Don't gouge eyes. Don't pull hair. Don't snatch. Once again, think of the list. Okay, well, what can I do here? You know, okay. So I can't hit him. I can't scratch him. I can't pinch him. I can't bite him. I can't pull their hair. I can't gouge their eyes. Can I step on a toe? You know, well, wait a minute. No, you know, the idea is don't do anything, right, to hurt somebody. Don't do that. Be careful what you do. Don't deliberately trip somebody when they walk by. Don't steal from people. See, we're thinking so many hands about the physical, but don't steal from people either. That's a bad thing. It's one of those Ten Commandments. You should avoid that. A simple rule, unless you're using them to comfort someone, you know, like a pat on the back, you know, or you're an attaboy, or you're putting an arm around them to hug them if they're crying, or if you're holding their hand and they're afraid, unless it's something that's comforting and helping, keep your hands to yourself. Okay? That's a pretty good rule of thumb, right? Work with your hands. Lift them up to praise God or fold them when you pray, but never use them to hurt anyone or take something that's not yours. Paul said in Ephesians 4:28, anyone who's been stealing should steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with your own hands so you will have something to share with those in need. It's interesting. And it's in a very context about getting along with people. Very context, a lot of, about speech in there too. But don't steal. Use your hands for something good. Be careful what you do. Now, have you been counting paw prints? I don't know if you have. Yeah, some have. Yeah, some have been counting paw prints. Okay. I will tell you what your reward is first. Okay. I don't have candy for you today. There's no widescreen TV. MP3 player, no smartphone. Here's your reward. If you will get this stuff and live it out, you will have a more blessed life and you'll be a blessing to those around you. There's your reward. The reward is in doing what the Proverbs say. And Proverbs actually says that often. Your reward is in doing what these things say, in living them out. You will have a more blessed and happy and joyous life, believe me, if you do these things. And boy, that's better than candy. Sweeter than candy. And it'll last longer than the widescreen TV, which will actually be replaced, you know, within a couple years with something, probably 3D or holograms TVs or something, you know. It'll be replaced anyway. But these things will last you a lifetime. Knowing how forgetful we tend to be, kids, I encourage you to open up your Bibles and read through the Proverbs. And parents, help them. Highlight some of these things, especially the ones you think, boy, this is something that I want my child to learn early on, and I want them to get hold of, and I want them to live by. This is something I know will bless them. You might even be saying, parent, you know, I wish this was something I would have got a hold of a whole long time ago. It would have saved me a lot of grief and heartache if I had. So help them. Go through that. Help them. If it would help to put a paw print, go ahead. If it would help to put an X marks a spot, go ahead. But help them to see those things that they want to revisit. And you know what? In the process, you'll be blessed too. You'd be blessed to do that with your kids. Bookmark them somehow. And I would encourage you to do that with this final proverb for today, because before you can do all of the things we've talked about, before you can really get control of, you know, what you're seeing and what you're hearing, what you're saying, what you're doing, you need to get control of where you're going to put your trust and your faith. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. So it's not a matter of you trying to figure all this out. It's a matter of you trusting God and seeking His counsel, praying for God to help you to live these things out. You got to do that. Not depending on your own reasoning. No, look to God. He'll tell you. He'll tell you. Seek Him with all your heart. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. He'll help you with these decisions. He'll help you. Because again, mom and dad aren't always going to be there. Grandma and grandpa aren't always going to be there. The Sunday school teacher is not always going to be there. The preacher's not always going to be there. You know who will always be there? God. God will be with you always. He'll watch over you. And not to criticize and condemn, but to help you. See, seek Him. Seek Him out. Do that. And that is a lesson worth kids and adults of all ages remembering. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for these clues for kids. I want to thank you, God, for these truths, these wonderful, wonderful words, God, that encourage us and help us to understand how we should live, how we should speak, how we should view things, how we should treat others. God, it's just good, common sense stuff. But God, so often we lack common sense. God, help us to look to you to make sense of it all. Thank you for our kids. Thank you, God, for the wonderful blessing they are, for the hearts they have, for the faith that we see in them, for their willingness to follow Jesus. God, may we as parents, grandparents, as older members in the church, may we do all we can to encourage them, not just to get a clue, but to live in the way that you would like them to. We know there'll be blessings for them now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.